You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Our opening segment today brought to you by Spencer and Devon Shaving Cream. Spencer and Devon uses natural ingredients like aloe and shea butter, no harsh chemicals. Spencer and Devon Shaving Cream is good to your face, whether you have a tough beard, sensitive skin, or both. Got bumps? Get Spencer and Devon Shaving Cream in sagebrush or spice, or completely unscented. Read their story at SpencerDevon.com or click their ad on our website. Spencer and Devon Shaving Cream, smooth. The Savage Blade.
Used it this morning. Check it out. Nice, huh?
Very nice.
Come smell my neck.
Look. Oh, no, I don't want to do that.
Okay.
I will.
If I may.
Yeah.
A few thoughts. Right. Jotted them down this morning when I woke up. Strangely enough, we've had a 10-year anniversary of 9/11. This one, I speak to a lot of people. It's like people are more aware this year than they were even last year. Kind of strange.
It seemed it this morning. You know what I didn't see? I didn't see a lot of buildup to it.
Yes.
And they did that a lot last year.
Maybe
the week building up, but I certainly felt it this morning.
You know what it is for me, too? I want to say it because it's again fallen on a Tuesday. This is the second time since the day itself that it's actually fallen.
That's right.
And it is once again a clear, sunny, crisp
September like
morning.
It was.
So, yeah, it really brings back the memory.
We're going to talk about that on the show today, but I just wanted to write down a few thoughts, if I could, from the beginning. More than 90 countries lost citizens 11 years ago today. I got that from Secretary of Defense Panetta. Mm-hmm. At the Pentagon in Somerset County, Pennsylvania, in New York City, we all remember the events that changed our lives forever. And I believe it's our duty to never forget those people who lost their lives. And that is why I felt like it was the right thing to do, to take time to remember them in the opening today and not to do a silly one of our little vignettes. No matter where you are, no matter what your politics are, I would respectfully ask that you take some time today and pause to remember the heroes, the innocent lives lost, and most importantly, the way we all were Americans. This is not patriotic BS. I really
feel this. We were one that day.
We all were Americans. We experienced something we had never experienced before, a tragedy that until that day was unthinkable. During those days, you didn't hear about Republicans. You didn't hear about Democrats.
That's right.
We all found strength because, and it's amazing to experience something like this, but we really were united as countrymen. We didn't think about politics. It didn't happen. The only time I thought about politics was when our president flew in on, I think it was either Thursday or Friday of that week, probably Thursday. I think Thursday's the first day he came in and stood on that pile of rubble with the elderly firefighter, and we were glad the president was there.
Yeah,
that was George W. Bush, folks, because it was not a political situation. Are we having a problem with
just Buzz's camera is sagging.
Buzz, you've got a sagging camera.
So forgive me for interrupting.
I had a nickel for everything.
We hopefully will be mindful of those heroes. For the first time in the United States, we became aware of our first responders, the police and the firefighters that keep us safe every day. That hasn't changed, and I'm glad that that put them in the spotlight.
Heroes.
They probably should have been there before.
Another thing, if I can jump in, this was the first time in my lifetime that I felt that America was not an impenetrable fortress.
Yep.
And it was,
unnerving.
We were very aware of our first responders, and that was amazing, but it was so unsettling.
The Pentagon, the seat of the greatest military power in the world, attacked.
Yeah.
It was unnerving.
It was really, it flipped me out.
Because of the firefighters and the first responders, the police officers that lost their lives that day, hopefully we'll be mindful of those heroes on a daily basis. Most of us on this show were in New York City the day it was attacked. We were on the air when the second tower was hit and when both towers collapsed. Broadcasting from Midtown Manhattan, we didn't have time to really process what was going on and what had happened because we were too busy getting the minute-by-minute information out. Mm-hmm. It was only in the hours after we left the studio on the streets of New York, smelling the smoke, hearing the sirens, seeing the dust, seeing the people covered with dust, the New York firefighters on the back of their trucks, that we appreciated the true human tragedy that had taken place. So I think I speak for all the guys on the show when I say on this day, remember the loss, but also remember that when times are toughest, we throw away all of our petty differences, that it seems like that's all we hear about day in, day out, is the differences we have as Americans. We came together then. We came together. You can't quantify it. You can't say this is how we came together. But we did come together as Americans. And I think on this day, if you want to remember the loss, do that. But also remember the fact that we are capable as a nation of coming together. And we really did do that back then. Mm-hmm. So with that, we'll have some thoughts about 9/11. We'll get the show started. Let's get going.
You can listen to The Michael Mara Show at www.MikeOMaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Ain't nothing wrong with having relations. Don't be ashamed. That relations is beautiful. When I was young, I used to always have relations. Every night, if a nice gentleman bring me flowers and candy, take me to a movie, show me a lovely evening, then I would take him home and give him hot, lovely relations. Relations is a beautiful thing. It's nothing to be ashamed of, especially to young people. You know, sometimes when I'm alone, I relate to myself.
I can relate.
So, Carla, do you like children?
Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful. I can't wait for Sherman to bring me home some grandbabies.
Hey, I know you're going to enjoy making them babies. Got them child-bearing hips. Baby popped right out.
Yeah, you know, I still got my wedding dress. If you want it, I'll take it in and let you wear. You look so lovely, Aaron. It's white, though. Can you wear a white wedding dress, young lady? Now, Sherman, you can wear a white tuxedo. Did you know Sherman?
Sherman's never had relations.
Mom, are you going to embarrass my baby?
Oh, I hope you got a strong back. When you get all that man and release all that that's been built up for 35 years, just wanting and wanting and wanting, whoo, might make your head blow off.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Buzz Burbank, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his couch, here's Mike.
Live from the Cappy Pfeiffer Studios, it's America's most beloved podcast, The Mike O'Mara Show, downloaded more than 50 million times and heard in 150 countries worldwide. We are delighted to have you with us. It is Tuesday, September 11th, as we mentioned before. Our show today brought to you by TryLendingTree.com. You're still thinking about refinancing your home. Based on the numbers that I've heard now, interest rates are even going to go lower.
It's amazing,
isn't
it?
Which is truly a mind-blowing deal. You want to refinance? You want to get a brand-new house? The answer is LendingTree.com. Just go to TryLendingTree.com, fill out one simple form, and let their network of over 200 lenders compete for your business. It's totally free, and customers are saying things like, LendingTree rocks! They took me from a first inquiry to a refi loan closing with the notary coming to my house on a Sunday in 30 days. Unbelievable. Wow. So that's the kind of work LendingTree is doing out there with amazingly low rates. Don't wait. Visit TryLendingTree.com. That's T-R-Y, LendingTree.com. Get a free mortgage guide when you enter the code TMS. Rob, I feel like I'm broadcasting out of a closet
A little echoey.
I swear to God.
Really?
Call 86. You know what scares me is you can't hear it. That's what I can't stand about it.
Nothing has changed since yesterday.
You are the conduit of our audio, and you can't.
Do your headphones work?
How's that?
You can't hear.
He's wearing them wrong.
You can't hear the echo.
I can. I mean, it sounds to me like it sounded yesterday.
866.
Yes, it does.
291-2010. You'll be confident you got the best deal. Visit TryLendingTree.com and enter the code TMOS. Let me try mic technique.
Yeah, maybe
mic
it's
technique
that.
101. Let me try it over here. Hey. No, I still hear it. But anyway.
It's the room, and we've got to address that.
The audio on this show
has been
crisper. Effing perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Flawless. So yes. So we're very picky about that.
Right.
It's like my father used to be when we first got a color television set.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, it took us a long time to get a color TV.
Right.
When we finally got our, believe it or not, back in the day, Toshiba.
Wow.
Really?
Look at you. He would go nuts. He would go nuts.
Getting it just right.
Oh, my God, especially with a football game. Mm-hmm. Like, you get the red, got to get the blue, mm-hmm. the Giants helmet.
Oh, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah. Haven't you actually adjust color?
Oh, my God, I used to do that as a kid for
you
my pops.
You used to adjust color on a television.
I've had Buzz come to two of my homes.
Need more game.
I'm actually an expert at that.
Are any of the microphones open outside of the...
No, just our four.
The four? Yeah, it sounds echoey. You're
Let me join you with Anna.
But anyway, sorry, our apologies. Hope you'll enjoy the
show. Oh, wait, I have to run this, don't I?
Terms and conditions apply. Visit website for details. NMLS license number 1136, 1312 Village Creek Drive, Suite 900, Plano, Texas, 75093.
Hey, when you go to Try Lending Tree, enter the code TMOS. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
In advance, on the program today, it is the anniversary of 9/11, and I think, Buzz, you had mentioned it's a Tuesday, but also that Tuesday and the identical weather that we had on 9/11 in 2001 when we were all in New York, and you were in DC, I assume. Oscar?
I was in DC. I you know, for you guys, it's a completely different experience because you were like right near Ground Zero. You were there in New York City.
We actually, you know, here's the funny thing: people say you were in New York. Wow, you know, that could have gone on. And outside of smelling some smoke and seeing the smoke over Manhattan, we would have been completely unaware that anything had actually happened.
And even that really wasn't apparent until like day three when the wind shifted.
Yep, that's right, because the wind was blowing in the other
Manhattan's
direction.
Manhattan's a north-to-south vertical island, and the attack took place in the southern tip of the island, and we were closer to the northern part or north-central part of that island.
Yeah, midtown Manhattan.
Right.
The one thing I always remember from listening to you guys broadcast that day, just as really a listener, I was working at WHFS, which is a rock station here in DC. And I remember waking up personally, looking at the TV, getting some coffee, because at that point I was on 20 hours a week, working 40 hours a week, but it was just morning time.
Of course.
And I turned on the TV at my parents' house and I said, Middle East, when are they going to get it straight? Because I just didn't know.
It was here?
I just didn't know.
They have some awfully tall buildings over there now.
That's exactly. And I turn around to the kitchen island, turn back, I said, those are some tall buildings for Lebanon. Like, what's going on?
Right.
And that must be downtown Lebanon.
And then I look and I'm like, and I literally almost dropped my coffee mug and I got on the phone. Because my father worked right next to the State Department, and all these erroneous reports are coming about that there was a bomb at the State Department.
Wow. It was
there was a lot of misinformation. That's one thing I truly remember.
That first tower got hit, the sports DJs who were on the air at WNEW were
Pharrell.
Working in New York.
They
called me into the control room and they said, "Hey, Buzz, look at this." And I said, "Oh, geez, some asshat has flown his small private plane into the World Trade Center."
And I remember that being reported.
And then the second one hit, and it was just you instantly knew the nation is under attack.
To show you how clueless, even being in Manhattan, how clueless I was. It was one of those rare mornings where I was exercising. So I'd gone down and gotten on the treadmill, and I was coming out of my hotel room at the Essex House at 8:30 in the morning. And I was calling home at that time, and there was no cell service whatsoever. Didn't think twice, but I mean, really, no. Do you guys remember how dead the phones were?
I remember,
there was nothing.
I got two calls through that day.
I did too.
I got one call at the end of the day, right? I got one call. No,
right
when it first happened, I called Carrie, who was in Iowa, of all places, visiting her dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, something's going down in New York. I want you to know. She didn't know the topography or the geography of New York. I said, I'm very far away from what's going on right now. I'm okay right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the other call I got through at about 4 o'clock that afternoon, because there was also so much misinformation about what was going on in DC.
Right. Yep.
I wanted to make sure that my grandfather was okay and that my family was okay. So I got people that work in the government.
I just had nothing. I remember that.
But
cell
you didn't
phone
know
being,
why.
Yeah. And I didn't think twice about it.
Right.
We used to all have some of us would do it alone. Some of us said we'd all have a group breakfast at a place called the Brooklyn Diner.
Right. Yes.
It was a diner that was located right in the bottom of our office building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I remember sitting there and the waitress, the first time I got any inkling of what was going on, the waitress, who seemed frazzled, came over and she said, "I'm sorry everything's running so late today." I didn't even think about it. I was reading the newspaper. But my mom is in one of the buildings next to the towers. I said, "What happened?" She said, "Somebody flew a private plane into one of the towers." I'm like, "Oh, my God." And I remember going around. And I walked around the corner, and they had that little, you know, that little bar they had at the Brooklyn Diner?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
That little alcove right in the back. And I was looking, and they had a television set on, and I said, That doesn't That doesn't look like a private plane.
Right.
No.
But anyway, I didn't eat breakfast, grabbed my stuff, went upstairs, and we were on the air, I think, within 45 minutes.
I know that the first plane hit when I was in the elevator going up to NEW. And I think that NEW was 9th and 10th floor.
Yeah, 8th and 9th floor.
It was during the time that I was going up there, and I was told the first thing, I was told by engineer Pete Johnson. He said, private plane is flying.
Hey, Rob.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know if you heard.
Watch out.
Private plane went in, and that's what everyone thought.
Well, I was able to get out a call before the phones got all jammed up, and the first person I called was my dad in Kansas because I knew he would be concerned. And I said, Dad, I'm just calling to let you know I'm okay. And he said, well, you know, why wouldn't you be? And I said, well, because we're under attack. You know, and told him what had happened. Mm-hmm. And he was very concerned. I tried to call, I think by the time I tried to call my wife, which was the second call, I was not able to reach her, but that was only because she was in a dentist chair at the time.
It was really surreal.
I remember reports coming from The Wire. I mean, real sources saying the National Mall was on fire, that people in D.C.
Crazy. Misinformation.
Misinformation was crazy. And that was as bad as it was, and people said it must have been horrible to be in New York City when that happened. The hardest thing was not being around my family and not being able to know immediately that everyone was okay.
And the second hardest thing was standing next to New Yorkers who were devastated at what has happened to our city. They were really, really shaken.
It was unbelievable.
Now, maybe you guys can give me your perspective, because clearly mine was just as a spectator, but you were there, you're in major market broadcasting, you've realized what's happening. What is your next move? How do you get together as a team with Don and yourself to make a decision of what's going to happen next?
Buzz did a great job in passing along information with nothing. Buzz was using every little source he had, you know, there.
And a tremendous job of, I recall Buzz.
Interns and office staff were helping.
Pulling
and,
stuff.
And it was kind of.
Did anybody help you from INS upstairs? Did you get any information from them?
If you'll remember, we were on WNEW, and I would do sort of an update about what I had gathered, and interns and other office staff were bringing the information constantly. I was trying to filter out, okay, well, what's real and what's unconfirmed, and just trying to sort that out and keep it as straight as possible. And then I would do that, and then we would lead into, I think, the top of the hour newscast from 1010 Wins.
Yeah, we did carry a simulcast.
Yeah,
that's
and also,
right.
Buzz did an amazing job.
And we took a lot of phone calls as well.
Yes, we did.
Buzz did an amazing job of, if someone joined us at any time during that, and I think we were on for like 5 or 6 hours, because I know we went on early that day.
A little
day.
Longer than that.
It was Buzz, at any time you joined in, he would set the table and tell you exactly where we were.
And
you
then
were
he'd such go a off and grab everything. I was doing kind of recaps. Don was running the phones and taking phone calls
and
from people.
And through those phone calls, we heard from firefighters who said, we need boots, we need this, we need that. And so we, man, this is what broadcasting was originally all about. Pardon me for getting a little emotional here, but this was a chance for us to really do some good, to really be of help in an emergency situation.
Well, they tapped us on the shoulder. They said, you guys get in there because you're the only ones we think. I believe it was Jeremy or Ken that had remembered that, you know, we had done the space shuttle thing and we could handle a serious thing.
Uh-huh. Right.
And we weren't going to be shock jocks that day. Yeah. Right. So they threw us into that
situation. Ushered us into the studio
now,
from Ken's office.
You guys, I'm working off a memory here, but I remember the first day the phone calls, and I tell people about this as far as the show is concerned. The first day the phone calls were of a shocking nature. Somebody had just been gut shot.
Yeah.
Nobody knew what was going on. Everybody. The second day was really the sadness of New York, where people were filled with remorse. And then day three. Do y'all remember day three?
Total mood
day
shift.
Day three was, we're going to get those sons of bitches. There was more anger coming out, and that really was, you know, you can say misguided anger that resulted in, you know, not directing it at the right people and who knows. But the fact is there were three distinct stages. The first day was, oh, my God, what's happening? Where are we? What am I going to do? I'm in the dark room and I can't see. And I'm using that figuratively.
Right.
Where, you know, the second day was just, I am so devastated and sad. That was the saddest day of broadcasting, was that second day.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third day was not only anger, but it was also kind of defiance, you know, screw them, we're going to rise out of this. We're talking about Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And Thursday was the day, I believe, was it Thursday or Friday that Bush came to town? I forgot which day it was.
It seems to me, memory serves, it was Thursday?
I think it was Thursday.
I remember it the same way, is three distinct emotions, and each one of them as strong as the other.
100%.
If you took as how they spread off like a wagon wheel from normal, we were as amazed as we were eventually, as sad as we were, as pissed off. Mm-hmm.
When you do a show like this, and the one thing that this podcast lacks, that we have capability for it, but we don't have we don't have the kind of capability that I'd like to have. I'd like to have more easily accessed phones.
Sure.
The mm-hmm. blog talk thing that we use in the Skype type of situation.
Novelty.
It's not as, yeah. And we're, you know, we might work on it, but it's also the length of time that we do this show. You know, that it, people, when they go through anything like this collectively, they need the radio to vent. A lot of people need it. They mm-hmm. want to get their voice out there. It's just somebody to say, here's how I feel and I want the world to hear mm-hmm. it. That's the service we provided, I thought, more than any other service.
And also, one thing that you talk about, the thing that we don't have that we did have, and that is a collective consciousness and a thing that's happening right now live. And I love the fact that people can listen to us anytime they want. However, that day, we were all living that moment
right.
at that
together,
moment.
Together, yeah. And no that, delays, no tape delays,
and
nothing.
And that was perhaps as made it even scarier, but also a little more comforting mm-hmm. because we knew that as soon as we said something or someone said something to us, we were sharing it at that time. We all lived through that together.
Yep.
Personally, for you guys, you know, if I was in that situation, I don't know what you would want to do because you don't know what's coming next, if there's something mm-hmm. else happening or something else is planned.
I was scared.
Yeah, what do you
that.
Go through that?
Buzz, were we taking smoke breaks together on the...
yes,
on the,
we were. There was
Buzz
a stair-
and I were taking smoke
there was
breaks
stairwell.
A stairwell in the center of the building.
Yeah.
And that we would stand
That
in.
Was where we were allowed to smoke.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And Buzz and I would go out on the stairwell, and people asked me, what did you think that day? What were you thinking about? And for the very first day, I was thinking about my ass. I was thinking about the fact, and not in that lovely way that I think about
that
it
was, that's what I was thinking about was your ass. Yeah.
Thank you. I was thinking literally...
In the stairwell, Buzz said, move up 2 steps.
You would hear a crank or a noise, and it, when I look back on it, it was kind of a traumatic shock deal where you're hearing a metallic sound, and you'd kind of take a step back, especially in that stairwell, I remember.
Yeah.
And then when I got over to the old creaky little Essex house, which was a place we didn't stay in. It was not the usual hotel that we stayed in when we were up in New York mm-hmm. for the week. So it was an old building, and it made a lot of noise. And I remember saying to myself, okay, they've hit the government. They've hit finance. Now they're going to hit media, and they're either going to hit 30 Rock,
yeah, I
or they're
going to
hit the building that houses the all news.
We
station,
did think about
WINS.
I had two moments that first day that really scared me S-less. And here's a little credit to you. When you told that to me, I was going to say that if you didn't. You said, you know, the next thing they'll hit is media.
I thought so.
Yeah,
and
I thought so.
And we're on the news station in New York. And I said, oh, really? I hadn't thought of that. And that really, you really did flip me out. But, you know, we were all also.
I'm glad I could flip you out, Rob.
We came together, you know, not just as a show, but as an organization that day.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I
were you with my group right after that first day?
Yes.
They came across the street.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember? We walked into the lounge, I think, of the Essex House.
Yep. Oh, I do.
We walk into the lounge. Now, Rob, help me out here because this is...
That was after you wanted to go. You wanted to get us distracted, and I wouldn't let you take us to the Wax Museum.
Right.
Because you knew that I hated Wax Museum. You said, that's what we need to do. We need to go to the Wax Museum. I said, no,
right.
Let's get a drink. And you were okay with that.
Right. Right.
So we went to the Essex House Bar.
Okay. So we go down. I didn't even know the Wax Museum was on the docket because I thought I wanted a cocktail as soon as I got off the air.
We were out walking around.
Yeah, we were walking around just to see what was going on. Then we headed back to the Essex House, and it was a group of us. And I remember walking into the lounge, and... was there a lady that was ordering like a big gooey dessert?
Yeah, it was like a gooey frap drink.
A gooey frap drink.
Yeah, like something like probably that was a grasshopper or something like that. Something cream
based. We'd gotten done with about 6-7 hours of broadcasting this
grueling
whole day.
Would be mm-hmm. sort of an understatement.
And I'm looking at her going, Jesus, effing. I mean, you're ordering that thing?
Some people find comfort in sugar the same way others find it
in
butter.
Yeah, but she was so... What I recall is she was really precise about it.
Yeah.
It was like, not too minty. Is it horribly minty?
I see where you're coming from.
The same lady came over. I think the same lady came over to our group, and we had like 4 or 5 people there, and there were 7-8 chairs sitting around this table, and she came over. Are these chairs taken? I said, yes.
Yeah,
there's a fourth reaction that's unique to New York, and that is, you know, New York has this reputation of being very tough and very cold, and really, if you have the opportunity to sort of live there as we sort of did, you end up with a little neighborhood where you know the store clerk, and
yep.
you know, so it doesn't seem so cold and impersonal. But the other thing that happened as a New York reaction to all of this was sort of the pulling together and pulling up bootstraps and getting back to work. And the focus in the hospitality industry, restaurants and hotels in particular, in you have never seen such friendly, attentive service. Yes. As the very quiet weeks that followed 9/11 in Manhattan, right. Because people stayed out of Manhattan.
Yes. And yeah. you were trapped the first week.
Right.
We didn't get out till Friday after the show.
We could not have left. I bet you didn't even know this. We could not have left if we wanted
to. There was no way out.
We got out Friday in a car. That was the only
way. Hired a car.
Couldn't get a train, couldn't get a plane.
I used to sleep with the windows open in my hotel room because I could. And I came to really like the sound of the backup horns on the trash trucks and the traffic and all that. And I found it very soothing and it helped me sleep. But I had to start closing the windows as the air became more acrid in New York. And so we finally got to escape that acrid, horrible air. And we rode back in a car. It was a limo, so it would hold all of us. And it filled quickly with cigar smoke. So we went from one kind of horrible smoke to another.
And we came out.
Can I ask who set up the limo? Those are different days.
We had a guy.
It was Richard.
We had Richard, our regular driver, that picked us up at the airport.
I think the only
station.
People he drove for were us and Richie Blackmore. from the rock and roll world.
We had a regular driver because we were in that town every other week for over a year.
And we had appearances to go to and all
we had
of that.
Stuff, so we had a regular guy and he got us out. And the one memory, and Buzz talks about getting emotional, but the most emotional time of the entire week is that we all came through that tunnel together.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody, I don't know which one pointed it out, but take a look back. And we looked back at that skyline.
Mm-hmm.
And it was gone.
I mean, you look back at that skyline and it was... that I'll never forget as
radically
long as
different.
I live.
Yeah. Forever
changed. Everybody in that car, we had a natural moment of silence where we paused because it was so amazing. That wrapped up the week.
Even people who lived across the river, standing next to them in the streets of New York, and they were shaking their heads and saying, what's happened to our skyline?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing.
For them, it was a real point of
that
pride.
That was the New York skyline. The Trade Center towers were the skyline.
Let's just... address the families. For example, today, tonight on Discovery Channel, if you're listening to this on September 11th, Tuesday, 2012, they have a special that's going to be called the 9/11 Surfer. Apparently, one of the survivors who really didn't tell his story till now because he had survivor's guilt and post, PTSD. And he said that he was running down one of the towers as it was collapsing.
It was probably, the North Tower, the second one to fall. Yeah.
16 floors up. And as the rubble went down, he awoke as the building had collapsed and he realized he had survived the fall.
Wow.
He said his first reaction was that he literally thought he was dead because he fell 16 stories on top of rubble.
Wow. Oh, the horror that we all had to accept that day. People jumping out of the towers to their deaths.
Oscar, I saw your jaw drop and your eyes in disbelief because we mentioned that we were literally stuck in the city.
Yes.
We couldn't have left if we wanted to.
There was, just to give you an idea, and I don't know that this would ever be able to happen again, and there was one night, I think it was Wednesday night, that it was so intense watching Peter Jennings with his shirt sleeves rolled up that I just needed out of my hotel room because it was too much.
Yep.
It was just a lot to digest, and I took a walk.
I think a lot of people got that. It just was so, the coverage
and there was
just
no
non-stop.
Escape.
And
there was no escape.
We were in the city. It's like, stop.
So
we were part of it.
I went to Times Square, and to let you know how deserted the city was, and this is the honest to God truth, I sneezed. And Times Square echoed.
Wow.
It came back at me. Canyon. That's how empty the town was at that time.
It was very
surreal.
The very first night, we went to the, I told you about the lady and the frappy drink and stuff. And so after everybody left and everybody went back to their hotel rooms, I walked from Midtown Manhattan down to Ground Zero. Thinking that at that time, because there was not the information, thinking that they actually needed volunteers. And I walked through neighborhoods that you would never walk through from, let's do the math. I have no idea how many blocks I walked.
It's 90 blocks each way, isn't it?
It was, I thought 60. Somehow I want to say 60 blocks.
Well,
I don't know.
You must have cut through a few backyards.
I don't know. It just, all I know is I got down there and got down to a perimeter that they had set up. And there was a white shirt, which was one of the officers in the New York Police Department. He said, we got 10,000 professionals, sir. We don't need any volunteers.
Yeah.
And I turned around. And I walked back.
And it's all you could do.
But that was good for you. I mean, it was good that you made that walk because you needed to make that effort. You needed to make that effort.
I did. Yeah. And it was just a strange event. And then when we got back to Washington, D.C., I remember turning on the radio, and we used to flip through all the different stations, and I remember saying, oh, my God, they have traffic reports.
Yeah.
What the hell do they have traffic reports for? Because we were in a city that was paralyzed. We were in a city that was literally completely the most powerful city in America, completely and totally shut down. And, I'll never forget it. I think that anybody that was involved with it, I hope they continue to do this year after year so some people can be aware of what that tragedy really was.
Do you remember, and I think it was either Tuesday or Wednesday night, there was some unfounded reports that the Empire State Building was going to be attacked?
Yes.
And
terrifying.
And I don't know why I landed on ABC coverage that whole week, but I did.
Well, Peter was still alive.
Peter was still alive. He was handling it. And I really got to a point, Oscar, when I was putting on shoes and socks and getting ready to run into Central Park because I feared for my life. Wow. And I'm not the kind of person that is reactionary to stuff like that.
You had
It was such a climate of terror.
You had a collective traumatic stress that enveloped an entire city and really a couple of cities and whoever had people connected to that. Everybody in New York kind of was worried about their own ass.
When you look back on it, do you balance the horror and terror of it all with the way the city and the nation came together? Because I do.
Yeah.
100%. And it definitely softens it.
All part of the same thing. Do you remember when we would sit in a restaurant, everybody would try to get outside seating at a restaurant because we wanted to...
That Italian place.
We wanted to applaud the firefighters when they would come by.
And we did.
And
everyone
would see
did.
People, everybody at a restaurant would applaud as they would drive
Salute,
by.
Applaud.
I mean, yeah. I'm not kidding yeah. you. I'm yeah. not kidding you. Like firefighters on trucks just going there, and you would see them head to
Caked.
Toe. Covered with dust.
Oh, yeah.
Those same guys that are probably experiencing the health effects
50
of
kinds of
day.
Cancer today.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah.
When we came back and it was things were forever changed, and I knew that there's no, I mean, as we talk about it 11 years later, obviously it's changed us all. Was there any event that when you finally went and knew that you were clear of the imminent danger of being in New York?
When we came through that tunnel.
The tunnel was what it did for you?
Yeah, I was worried. Driving through the tunnel, I didn't share this, but I've been driving through the tunnel. I'm like, okay, well, I hope they don't set something off in this tunnel to cause the tunnel.
I'm not saying this to be brave. I may be saying it because I am stupid, but I don't remember being scared. I was initially concerned that the next strike would be a media center. But for me, the fear, I just felt like it was, okay, well, it's over. I mean, within a couple of days,
boy,
I felt like...
you're alone there.
Yeah, no, I think I am. And again, that may be stupidity
this
that I shouldn't be sharing.
This is the same guy that feels cocky after almost dying in the hospital.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
You process things
I laugh
weird way.
In the face of death.
He's going to get scared in about five more years. It's going to sink in.
Yikes.
I told you that my kids, Julia, I only had Julia then. Julia was 9 months old. And Carrie and her sister were in Iowa. And it was the following week. And they were coming into BWI, and I drove up there, and when I held them, and I knew that we were finally together again, and it took me a long time to put Julia down that night.
Yeah, you've got three guys that we do this because it is post-traumatic stress to a certain level. It really, really is.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm sure the people listening right now appreciate you sharing
your experience. And what we did was never approached what so many others did.
We're all such big babies.
We are.
No.
But you know what? We can and we should be proud of the work that we did on the air that week because I really think we did a service there.
There are people today, especially the younger generation, kids that are in high school now, that are just learning that really are really, when as you get older and you go through school, you realize the magnitude of what has happened. When you're a child, you're sheltered or protected by your parents, and as you get older, you really learn what this was all about.
Right.
And whether there's somebody that's listening in college right now, or maybe somebody that's listening that's older and is able to tell their kids about it, they should tell them how important this day was and how it changed really the landscape of the American dream and how we live our lives.
What I just said, I didn't even realize until this moment. It never really came to me that Robert wasn't born yet.
Right.
You see how mature and what a little guy he is now when he was at the hockey classic.
Right. It's amazing. There are kids that weren't alive.
It's not yet time for me to burden him with this.
Right.
But there is going to have to be a time when I sit him down and I explain it all.
Yeah.
Because lest we forget, man, it's too big a deal.
It's, as I said, to wrap this whole thing up again, though, the nicest thing about it and one of the best things about it, through all that horror, through all that tragedy, there was really I can't emphasize it enough. There was that feeling that we were all in this together.
Yep.
That there were not, that the political lines were obscured. Now, it didn't take long before that.
No.
You know, they showed the picture of George Bush in the school, and that I thought was unfair to him, where he's, you know, he's getting this information and then he's processing it.
Right.
I thought that was completely unfair to George W. Bush, the way they did that. But we, at for a moment, there were no politics. There, you know, everybody just got together and really realized that we're Americans, and, you know, screw those people that did this to us. We're going to get through this.
It seemed to me we ditched politics for a couple days when Obama was elected too, but
yep.
we always seem to get back
yeah.
to the petty because crap. I think it's more fun.
Speaking
for
of that,
people.
I got a funny story about that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get back on the program today. Where's the new TV? I'll ask Buzz about that.
All right,
the hell of the new TV show?
I thought perhaps you ordered one.
It's the fall. Let me see.
Call Amazon.
Romney Meanies. I don't like the Romney Meanies. I want to talk about that a little bit. And let me see. Oscars World.
Oh,
he seems like he's got a little extra spring this step.
Really? Let's find out about
my
that.
My observation.
Not at all.
Okay. We'll take a break. Come right back.
Give me a sign. Catch my breathing even closer behind.
All right, folks. I told you that I would be honest with you about it. Day one of the back on the program again. I mentioned yesterday that I was as heavy as I had gotten in my life. I'm happy to say that now, today, one day later, I am lighter than the last time I was the heaviest.
Wow.
So that's a good thing.
I genuinely expected when I came in for you to growl at me today.
No, I'm fine.
And you look like you're doing good.
I've got kind of a low-grade headache.
And you will for another day or so.
The toxins are coming out of my body a mile a minute, but I'm doing really well. And I have lost about 3.5 pounds in one day.
Holy mackerel.
So that's the scene. You fast. I will be honest with you on the Weight Not program. But it's terrific. I've had 3 or 4 exchanges with Christy, my counselor over at Weight Not, and I'm really happy
about
it.
And be clear, you only fast for 48 hours.
Now.
And you get supplements. It's not impossible.
It's a fast.
For the purposes of putting more pressure on me with this, I will tell you, Carla is taking a photograph of me every single day.
Oh, that is awesome.
How do you feel about that plan?
I hate it.
Worst?
I hate it now.
Flip book ever.
Oh, the worst.
I hate this cartoon. Yes.
Next to that clock there. I got another testimonial from Becky. Mm-hmm. She writes, Mike, I admire you for talking about your battle with weight loss. Well, all the guys have done that. Your fans are rooting for you. Take advantage of the moral support. Thanks for your show. My fiance, Monty, and I. Monty.
Oh, Monty.
They joined Weight Not and also worked with Christy. Between the two of us, they lost 240 pounds.
That's true. That's
wow. Awesome.
Support from our family
and
friends.
The wife lost 10.
The Weight Not staff and TMOS was instrumental in our success. When people ask about the weight loss, we always give you the nod for getting us started with Weight Not.
Hey.
You've really changed our lives for the best. Hugs, Becky from Maryland. Thank you very
much. Nice job, Beck.
It's 855-WAIT-NOT, 855-934-4486, waitnot.com. Unbelievable results you can believe in, and I'll have another update tomorrow. I'm going to hate those days where because you have flat days.
You have flat. You know what you're going to have to do, Mike? You're going to have an occasional apple day. You have to read about them in the binder because they
all
work.
About his apple day.
Yeah, and I'll, just before we close the book on it, I did something I never did last night. I did 50 minutes on the elliptical.
Yay!
Ooh, nice.
Wow. Are you all right?
Yeah, I don't know. It's very weird. But
he's possessed.
He's got his new bun, new chick. He's got to work out for.
Oh God, I hate it when you do that. Yeah. You stole that from me. Instead.
You stole it from Bob Hope.
Thank you. Where is the new TV?
It's sneaking in this fall.
It's
and
crap.
You know what? I want to.
It's crap.
You gotta get Amazon Prime.
I sat there Sunday night. Sunday night, it's the opening of the football season. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to have new television.
There was one
on.
New show last what? Night. It's. I think it's a ripoff of Modern Family. I recorded it. I haven't
is
watched
it. Go
it yet.
On.
No, it's
the new normal.
No, it's the new
the
normal.
New normal.
That's
and also, there was Go On, the Matthew Perry show.
Right. And
which, by the way, it's exactly what you'd think it would be.
Oh, they're starting to trip.
I like it.
Of course you like it.
But you're such a douchebag.
But here's what the deal is.
You watch the new Matthew Perry show.
I'll check it out.
They actually had a free, even before it hit the airwaves, a pre-roll on iTunes. And I ordered it. I said, well, I'll watch a free show with Matthew Perry.
Yeah, it was funny.
And I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Really?
Could be. I'm going to check it out.
You know what?
Sitcoms. I don't like
sitcoms. He's gonna love it.
You're going to hate it because...
You're going to hate it.
He is... His character plays a sports talk radio host.
Oh, well, see, now I've showered a bit.
It gets better. Mike, it gets better. He's a sports talk radio host with issues.
Oh, super duper.
And you know what? Even though he's got a gruff exterior, he cares for the other people in his help group.
And if you hate Jim Rome, you're going to hate this show.
Okay.
I actually watched it and then went out and purchased a pistol.
Look, I did a new fall preview segment last year, and I might do one this year, but it's going to be different because none of us really watch TV in the same way. You know, Oscar mentioned Amazon Prime, which, of course, we highly recommend, especially if you go through our website. But there are
sort of service would that be?
It's TV shows and movies.
No, Mike, it's an escort service.
Yes.
And you can either pay-per-view or you can get an Amazon Prime membership and watch most of it for
free.
How
do I hook it up to my TV?
You just plug the computer into the TV.
Where's that portal?
I'll help you find that.
You know what? I bet you can use Apple TV to do it.
Somebody stole my Apple TV.
What?
I don't know. I was looking for it the other day. I haven't used it. I used it once.
Same guy that said somebody stole your charger and it was plugged into the wall.
Sorry.
That was 2 years ago.
I'll look today. My Apple TV is out at the kitchen TV.
Do you think maybe El Cleaning Woman took it?
No, stop.
Well, I'm trying to think who else would do it.
I don't know. He
had an Apple day.
Can I go check if it's there?
Yeah, you go look. But I will say, we all watch.
I didn't see it.
Someone stole my Apple TV.
We all watch TV differently now. Nobody watches things at the time that they're on. We record them and watch them at our convenience. So I'm going to take a different tack and keep that in mind if and when I do a fall preview segment.
You should, because you're very methodical about the way you watch TV.
But you can't have a schedule
anymore. Mike, TV is like podcasting. It's entertainment at your schedule.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's why we're the future.
But do you remember,
we're the future.
I sometimes chuckle at things that the kids will never understand, or like a long distance phone call. Kids will never understand that.
Came back awfully quickly.
And you know what my kids will never understand? A TV guide.
Is it there?
Yes, it's right here.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you know what? He did steal it.
Yes.
Now I see why he went out to look for it.
He went out to his car to get it.
He said, he caught me, and I'm going to go pretend it's still out there.
Did he take it?
I think he took it.
No, he didn't take it. It was easily accessible. I brought it in here.
And now, is that an Apple TV, or are you waiting for a table at Applebee's? Because it looks like one of those things they handed
out. It was literally sitting in back of your TV.
All right, so I can put my computer in there, and what's the Amazon thing?
Amazon Prime.
Oh God, so busy.
Mike, can I blow your mind just quickly?
Yeah, go ahead.
So,
can you?
The movie industry, clearly they're not making the dollars they were making years ago.
Right. That's maybe because movies suck.
That's right.
Yeah. And going to the movies for some people they hate, right?
Mm-hmm. I love the experience.
Yeah, you and I love it. Yeah.
I like the snacks.
What's happening?
Stop.
I'm sorry.
Stop.
Withdrawn.
And I had heard this, but I didn't know for sure that this is actually happening. Movie companies.
Rob knows the moment I just had. Sorry, I gotta stop.
You just tapped out.
No, because I've been doing really. I hadn't even thought, but then I thought all of a sudden movies, and I realized that the popcorn,
buttered popcorn.
Yeah. That's it. Stop it.
Mike just had a almost the equivalent of a wet dream about Junior Mints.
Okay, go ahead.
That's not butter.
So you can watch movies that are going to hit the theaters or that are in theaters now. Now, maybe not some of the blockbusters, but you can watch them in your house.
Movie house ones.
For $20. No, not movie house ones.
Not even independent
Snow White and the Huntsman right now is on iTunes before it hits theaters. And if you want to buy it, you can buy it for $20 and you can watch it in your home.
Or you can rent it, I think, for less even.
You can rent it, but they don't let you rent it until it's after.
But they have TV shows and as well as movies.
Yeah,
it's
but first a lot going on. Run movies.
Mm-hmm. Really?
It's right now available.
Kind of like it's kind of like your Spectrovision in a movie in a hotel room when you get
Spectrovision.
Yes. That's right.
So if you go to Vegas or you go to Atlantic City, you can actually watch movies that are still in the theater.
Or Reno.
Very good. All right.
And you can watch them now at home.
All right, so I'm going to play with that today. I got to hook it up to my main TV in my room, the room that I just got to figure out. No, downstairs in the
right after the show.
Can you really?
Seconds.
Oh, yeah. It's
really?
Very fast.
Yes.
2 seconds.
It's pretty complicated.
It's got two wires.
Complicated.
It's two wires.
No, if you go into the back of my receiver,
yes.
I got the Xbox hooked up.
You're fine. Do you have an HDMI in that is not used yet?
Maybe not.
No.
You'll have something.
Then you're losing your Xbox, my friend.
Okay.
Mike, you'll be fine.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
It's going to be fine.
Thank you very much. Can I just say something about this?
What is this?
Can I say this about that?
As Richard Nixon used to say. I'd like that.
This guy, the pizza store owner, okay?
Yeah. The hugger.
Papa John's?
Did you hear what they did to this guy? The viral video that the guy hugs the president and lifts him up.
Saw that.
And then people just go to the website that rate his restaurant and give him terrible reviews on his food and stuff because he was. Because they were Romney supporters.
Oh.
And
they were
mad.
Pissed off that he was lifting up the president.
These are the meanies that you're talking about.
And they're especially mad because he is a Republican. Republican.
He's a Republican. He's a Republican who voted for Obama. He said he's going to vote for Obama again. And so they went and they sabotaged the food review websites for this guy. And then the backlash hit a backlash, and all the other people that were Obama supporters came back. But it's just like,
it should be easy to filter out because most Romney fans don't eat pizza.
We've politicized
they're
pizza.
Mostly fans of steak. And Wellington.
Mike, you're an avid reader. And
not as much as you might think.
But
I read a lot of magazines. I don't read a lot of books.
He doesn't know a lot of the words.
I like to listen to books. But I don't think you have the same experience that as you would when you read them.
Right.
And
you don't.
No, but there is a book that Woodward just came out with.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he talks about how.
Is this the debt crisis
the
book?
The debt crisis. Yep. Yes.
Right.
And I saw a piece on it last night on Nightline. And I was blown away because we all kind of knew what happened, how the country was on the brink of defaulting on its loans and how our credit got downgraded and the politics behind that.
Right.
But he went in and decided to find out what really happened. And he talked to the Speaker of the House. He talked to President Obama. And they have excerpts from the actual interviews. Mm-hmm. And all it came down to, and both sides were at fault, was – I feel, and this is my humble estimation, and this is maybe a book that I'm actually going to read and not listen to, because while I'm not a political wonk, what upsets me is that the end game for all of this is just egos.
Oh, yeah.
And politics, but egos almost ruined this country.
Mm-hmm. If there is one career more than something in show business that we're still holding on by the skin of our teeth, but more than show business that is an ego-driven occupation, it's politics. It is people that are striving and doing everything they can to have people approve of them.
I would go so far as to say it's more so.
Yeah,
I think that,
but I'd say that I'd say that some broadcasters and some showbiz types are similar, but politics takes it to the next level because then it's, oh my God, you have to like me and vote for me and support me.
And you're talking about like when the Republicans walked away from the table, then the Democrats walked away from the table, and how it was just this BS going on.
And Woodward comes out and says, because they're trying to, they're like, look, isn't this political ammunition for the Republican Party? Is this, what's the timing of this book? He said, no. He's like, I clearly state in the book that it was both their faults.
Yeah.
Right.
Because the Boehner, the Republicans, and President Obama and the Democrats.
And Pelosi.
But this is the thing.
Yeah, Pelosi.
He said they just couldn't put what their personal interests aside for the country's interests.
Buzz, do you have anything about this in the news? Because I have a tape I'd like to play that I was going to do in the vault, but it fits here.
I have some thoughts.
Do you want to do it when we get there? Because we're up on a break here.
I can do it in the vault then.
All right, we will take a break. We will come back with Rob's Magic Audio Vault. You're listening to the 9/11 Mike O'Mara Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Rob's Magic Audio Vault brought to you by Score Big. We talk about it all the time. A better way to get those tickets that you want so big, it's called scorebig.com. They work with the teams, they work with the promoters, they work with ticket providers, and they give you an opportunity to save 10 to 60% on your favorite team, whether it's baseball, NFL, NBA, college. Listen to this. They've got Redskins and RG3 all season long. They've got the Washington Nationals, the baseball, the drive for the playoffs. You can get great tickets from them. USC Trojans football, Michigan football, auto racing. There's just no limit to what you can get there. Mm-hmm. Tickets at scorebig.com are always below box office price guaranteed. Go to scorebig.com and enter the code TMOS at checkout and save at least $30 below box office price on your first purchase.
And you've been doing it.
Kyra Schuster says she saved more than 60% on Nats Braves tickets. 100 level, row 12, behind first base. I want those. She says...
Oh, those are next to me. I'll see her there.
Listen to this.
With the TMOS code... Are you ready for this?
Yes.
This is getting into SPIWAC territory. Yes. No, SPIWAC territory is 0.00.
Yeah, 0, right.
And I'll want some food, too.
She paid about $25 a ticket.
That's essentially free.
SCOREBIG, scorebig.com. Go to them and check them out. All right, and now let's get to the man who led his children into the prize closet at the Hockey Classic, and I felt like I was looking at a family of piranha.
They did not take anything, though. Yeah. Very well, but they browsed.
They didn't take anything because I was there.
They browsed.
You would have had a satchel full of stuff.
Actually, you know the thing about that prize, that the prizes there, they you really
such a, you were such a hump to me that day.
I don't know what happened.
You know what? I gave Robert my jersey, my personal jersey right, from the I hockey remember. Classic, and Rob says, "We've got a seam ripper at home. That's okay,
that
Robert."
That was a joke.
I know you hump.
Jesus.
You hump.
And you know what?
What?
They could, those kids could not walk around that arena without someone giving them some sort of gift. That's true. So they had no need to steal or pilfer.
That was
great
a lot
fun.
Of fun. All right, let's get to the audio.
Just ball. Talked about this. Obama's talking to the dazzling Scott Pelley last night because Bob Woodward said that he was so upset. Obama was so upset when Boehner finally said, "No, I'm sorry, the debt deal's not going to go through." He said he slammed the phone down so hard that he nearly broke the receiver. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was that upset. That
and then Scott Pelley moved his jaw around.
That's right, and fixed the phone with yes. his jaw. Yeah. But here's Obama answering to the fact whether or not he broke the phone in anger.
"I don't know if I was going to break the receiver. I wasn't happy. Yes, I was frustrated, but that's behind us. And the question now is, how do we move forward?"
Not a denial. But I want to leave this. I love. I love when a broadcaster is just caught with their pants down.
Okay.
And this is
You're
made funnier.
Me?
Stop it, you. This is made funnier because he's got a Carl Pilkington-like accent.
Okay.
This, from what I can tell, is like British ESPN. And they're going to a rugby game. Rugby game's where you get the card, right?
Right.
You get the red card. So he goes to the rugby game to the sideline reporter. Sideline reporter might not have his S together.
"Put Oldham in front against Gillingham. He's alone from Doncaster Rovers, and Doncaster themselves have scored against Plymouth. They're on the brink of the playoffs at the moment. James Coppinger has got that goal. And we're off to Fratton Park where there's been a red card. But for who, Chris Kamara?"
"I don't know, Jeff, has there? I must have missed that. Red card."
"Chris, have you not been watching? I haven't.
Oh.
I don't know where that's come from, Chris. I have no idea what has happened there. What's happened, Chris?"
That was honest.
I don't know, Jim." "I don't know. The rain must have got in my eyes, Jim."
Chris, let me tell you, according to our sources, Anthony van den Boer has been sent off for a second bookable offence. Get your fingers out and count up the number of Portsmouth players are on the field."
"No, you're right. I saw him go off, and I thought they were bringing a sub on, Jeff."
"That's professionalism, Cammy."
That is professionalism. I love that.
It's the Pilkington accent.
The accent makes it, doesn't it? Yeah. "I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know what's going on."
But in America, we have the best sportscasters in the world, yeah. Like your favorite, Mike, Chris Berman.
Oh, God.
Who just on Monday Night Football, it's, I think, the 89th season of Monday Night Football.
Right.
He sounded like he's really got his ass together. He sounds so skinny.
"Beautiful look at the O.Co. Coliseum. I can't do it. It's a beautiful look at the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. I feel better.
I feel better hearing you say it."
I hate him.
Dude,
I really
problem
do.
Anyway.
He ruined me with the home run derby.
Yeah, oh, I know. He brings nothing to it.
He took one home run derby and he did the back on every single home run, and I was ready to kill him by the end.
But there is one person that I like maybe even less than him, and that is the guy whoever does the stadium announcing. I think the game was in Oakland last night. This is the Art Modell moment of silence. I want you to hear the very end of this, the PA guy, not my favorite.
"And now, ladies and gentlemen, we ask you to rise at this time to honor the life of Art Modell with a moment of silence, followed by our national anthem." "Thank you, Art. We love you."
That was so hilarious.
So bad.
"Thank you, Art. We love you."
And you know, that is not an easy gig. I got to do the moment of silence for Walter Payton when I was working for the Redskins, yeah. And it's a tough gig, but you don't want to say, "We love you."
You know the guy, the PA guy, seriously, that I truly respect?
Who?
A guy that puts his body on the line every single game, and that's the guy we hung out with, Wes Johnson.
Oh, yes. God.
He does. You're Washington Capitals.
The best.
He literally puts his... You think his head's going to explode. I worry about Wes.
Yeah.
You see Wes.
Yeah.
Wes does not, you know, he's like me. He's as healthy as I am.
Yeah.
And I look at Wes, and I'm just like, "You're Washington Capitals!" And the top of his head is just going to go, "Help me."
Speaking of announcers who put put their health on the line, Robert ran into me this morning, and Robert watches the first half of Monday Night Raw on Monday night, and then he gets up early and watches the second half in the morning.
This.
He says, Dad, what? Jerry passed out. Jerry had a heart attack.
Jerry Lawler.
I said, Jerry Lewis? He said, no, no, Jerry Lawler.
Jerry Lawler had to be taken away.
And yes. Mike.
Jerry Lewis.
We wish him the best. No.
Jerry the King Lawler.
Jerry the King Lawler.
And the amazing thing is.
My era of wrestling.
He actually was in a match last night.
Really?
Because they did a Twitter vote
to
see.
He's 65 years old.
I think he's 62. They did a voting thing on Twitter where who was CM Punk going to take on last night? Mm-hmm. Was it going to be Randy Orton? Was it going to be Jerry the King Lawler? And eventually they all ended up in the ring.
Of course.
And so he wrestled. And then this was really awkward because this is a pretty slick show. And then Michael Cole comes back after a match and makes this announcement.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure you noticed that Jerry Lawler hasn't been active in the past couple of matches. A little bit earlier tonight, Jerry passed out here at ringside. Jerry collapsed and was helped to the back. He was stretchered to the back to the locker room area, and we understand now that that Jerry is receiving medical attention as we speak. They are performing CPR. And again, this is not, it is not part of tonight's entertainment.
It's not?
This has happened. And again, Jerry Lawler collapsing at ringside tonight. And
did he make it?
CPR as we speak.
He's stable. Yes. Responding well, and he's stable this morning. Yeah.
It kind of indicates to you that whole deal with professional wrestling, you know. You make an announcement like that, and you know, where does the BS begin and the reality end?
I mean, he did it, but
you could have easily thought Jerry Lawler passed out.
I second-guessed it until I went through the entire broadcast and showed there was no coverage of it.
Right.
If they were doing it as a gimmick, and they are pretty slick in their presentation, they would have played it up. And I think the key word there is this is not a part of tonight's entertainment.
Okay. There's a precedent for this because in the past they've had accidents happen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Where people
right.
have died.
Yeah. Yeah. Where the chairs are.
And you know what?
Neck.
Or the zip line.
It's really not my cup of tea, save for the fact that Robert loves wrestling so much, so I'm forced to watch a few hours of it every week.
Right.
I think it is a good program for the kids, and I wish him all the best because he seems like a good guy.
Does he appear any more violent after he watches wrestling?
Robert, no. No, okay, he appears to want more free swag.
He's such
and,
a
you
sweet
know,
kid.
Because
he is Chad, a sweet little boy. He really is.
Because Chad's such an enthusiast. For wrestling, we've been to a
Chad goes nuts over
a couple
right?
WrestleManias, and we got a chance to hang out with some of these guys, and they're just entertainers
yes.
like we are.
Yes.
Yeah,
you
yes.
know what I mean.
Let me ask you a question about your radio partner.
Yes,
Chad Dukes. Would Chad? Do you think in the, you know who is? Give me one.
His favorite.
Give me a couple of his favorites.
John Cena.
John Cena.
It's my example. Favorite.
All right, John Cena. If John Cena said, you know, come away with me. You will tour with me. I will pay you what you're getting paid currently.
Yes.
And you will, you know, live in my entourage, and you will be with me all the time.
Yeah.
Would he leave Queen Dukes now?
Would
he leave her?
You know, I can't speak for him, but I will say as a friend
yes.
that he would find a way to bring her along.
There you go.
Okay,
so
very good.
So the answer, Mike?
Very diplomatic.
The answer, yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
Tampa Bay, this was a Yankees game. They were on WCBS.
Devil Rays.
This is a
I still call them the Devil Rays.
This is a radio call. Their play-by-play guy is John Sterling. Apparently, his sidekick is a chick. I didn't
really?
Know that. But something happened that doesn't happen very often. Mm-hmm. Foul ball. Hits his microphone.
Well, here's a 3-1. Swung on and pop foul back.
Good one, John. Knock over. Landed right on our desk. How's your microphone?
It hit right on the mic, knocked the mic over, and I got a baseball in my hands.
Yes, you do. Wow.
Way to go, Robbie. So it'll be a 3-2. I quickly got out of the way.
A lot of thrilling broadcasters.
Look, there are two schools.
Yes.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to
go
there.
I'll say it. Women don't belong.
No.
I agree.
I agree.
Did you hear her reaction?
No, hold on. I'm talking about the dude. The dude's at fault here.
He sounds great.
John sounds like a douche.
Yeah. Little excitement.
No, I mean, you have the guys that are that can roll with it and really make something special.
Uh-huh. Have fun
and I
with
will
it.
Give it. And
once,
then you
that's
have the
a really once in a lifetime thing you can have
you
fun with.
You just have guys that are like, yes, I can't get out of my standard.
Could you play
Larry Slows, Charlie Slows.
Here's a 3-1. One.
Yeah.
Swung on.
Well, there I am. That's all I am. That's all I am.
But listen.
Right. First of all, nothing.
She says, good one, John. She's a
right
saint.
On our desk. How's your microphone?
It hit right on the mic, knocked the mic over, and I got a baseball in my hands.
Yes, you
okay,
do.
Okay, stop it right there. Uh-huh. All he's capable of doing is telling you exactly what happened.
Without any...
Because he does not possess the intellectual capacity. Yes. I'm going to tell you this right now. Well, it hit the microphone, knocked it over, and the ball landed in my hand. Two outs right now on the bottom of the fun. That's what he's. That's right. All okay, he okay, can do.
He may be a dullard.
How about John Miller?
The woman next to him
John
isn't
Miller.
Any better.
Oh, the woman's worse because she's a woman.
Put John Miller. Shut up a minute. You're not hearing my point. Put John Miller or Vin Scully or Don Orsillo or Jerry Remy in a situation like that.
Or the gold standard when something funny happens the way Madden will do it.
Yes.
And stay with it for the entire game.
Precisely. Okay. This guy that hit the microphone
she was
and
the
went
first,
into my hand.
She was the first to acknowledge that it hit the mic.
She was funny.
Does that now rank up there with the football hitting the goalpost?
Oh, you mean
as
like
far as the sound?
You mean
the
like at the San Francisco 49ers game when Vernon Davis converted 2 points and went to slam dunk the ball over the upright?
Like that.
But not making it and instead being owned by the goalpost and making the gonk? You mean like this?
Smith. Pass is caught by Vernon Davis for the touchdown. And a conversion on third and goal by San Francisco. And Davis is rejected.
He couldn't quite slam dunk it. Oh, and what a great time to be in America, Mike. Three new television shows yesterday. I want to play you the opens of all of them because they all suck equally. The premiere yesterday of The Jeff Probst Show.
Jeff Probst.
Guys, a little about me. I'm recently married. I work
Hold
with
on, wait, wait, wait.
On
Is it
show?
Jeff Pope?
No, Jeff Probst, the you guy know, from Survivor.
All right, so it's Probst.
Okay, and also, Mike, yesterday the premiere of The Katie Show with Katie Couric. Are you ready for this day?
Great time to be alive, especially when you get a chance to turn on the television and watch The New Ricky Lake Show. Here we go.
Who wins?
Nobody wins. Everyone loses.
All right.
Someone's got to win.
Jeff Probst works his ass off. The Survivor guy.
Yeah.
Well-known commodity. He's been on the Regis and Kelly Lee.
Yeah.
He does a great job with that. He's a broadcaster. You see a lot of him. I'm fine. Give him a shot.
He'll be gone in nine months.
We'll see what happens.
Six.
That's fine. Then you get Katie Couric. Katie is Katie. She's hosted the Today Show. Mm-hmm. She's been an anchorwoman at CBS.
It shoots and ladders
How
for her.
The F. Does Ricky Lake get reincarnated? How does that happen?
I have no idea. Maybe she's still coasting on the success when she was the neighbor on... wasn't she the neighbor on King of Queens for
I
a while?
I just remember her for the fat girl in that
Hairspray.
John Waters
This
Hairspray.
Is strictly based on her first
but
show.
Look,
I think.
Anderson Cooper's talk show, Fledgling, yes. Unfortunately. Mm-hmm. He's a great anchor.
Is that,
does a great job
is that still on?
On CNN. He's Fledgling. Mm-hmm. But then you look at all these. I think Katie Couric
not fledgling. Not, it's the wrong word.
What's the word?
Because you confused
struggling?
Me there. He's struggling.
What's fledgling?
He's
fledgling means it's your first
like
time
a
out, right?
Baby
he's
duck.
He's struggling. Yeah. Oh. He's fledgling, flailing, fliggling, flingling.
He's ogling.
There's
he's
another
drowning.
Word.
Floundering.
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 He's floundering.
I learned
like
something
fish.
New today. Well, he's floundering. Katie's going to win.
I agree. Katie wins.
She's
out of
better broadcaster. Okay, and I close with this. Did you know? Did you watch any of the Seal interviewed on 60
thing.
Minutes?
Yeah.
Mark Owen with his amazing makeup.
Scary makeup.
Yeah, because they made him look like a real person, but a different guy. And they changed his voice.
And I came away. He softened me on the original position I had, where I was angry. I was riveted to the details of it. I had to pay attention.
One
like,
detail
guilty.
That really surprised me is what the Seal did immediately. Immediately after they killed bin Laden.
We got on a bus. They drove us back to work. I didn't even go in. They told us we had a couple days off, and I grabbed my keys, went and got my truck, and you know, I hit Taco Bell on the way home, hit the drive-thru, a couple tacos, and you know, ate it in my car right there and then drove home.
So you kill OBL and you get some tacos. I just thought that was surprising. There's Conan's take on that very story.
One of the Navy SEALs was speaking who was involved in the bin Laden raid. And he said the first thing he did when he got home was go to Taco Bell. Yeah. Yeah. So apparently bin Laden wasn't the only one that night who his pants.
And that, Mike, that is your magic audio vault.
Good job, Rob.
That's a good dirty joke.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. Come right back with Buzz and News right after those. Come Conan gets those little zingers out every now and then.
He's on cable, you see.
That's not bad. Let's get Buzz in here right now. Very busy day in the news. Sure. Take it away, Buzz Burbank.
Thank you, Mike. We're brought to you today by Encore Insurance Services, Encore! LLC, Encore. Official sponsor of our live stage show, November 10th at Circus Circus in Reno. Oscar tried Encore and loved it.
Yeah, I did. You know what's great about Encore is they really, when you go and actually ask them for help, one person deals with you the whole time. They walk you through it.
Love that.
They take everybody that's involved within their services, and they bring you their options, and then you decide.
It's like days of old. You actually have an agent. That's so great.
That's a lot of fun.
To get yourself a free quote, just visit smartterm.com or call 866-347-5748. They'll do all the work for you. Encore will compare rates to help you save.
Super easy.
I say this often about Encore, and the fact is they are such a fine partner of our show. They help us with these trips to Reno. We wouldn't be out there without the help from Encore. Please, you know, it's a partnership we have with a lot of these advertisers, and the people at Encore really step up for our major events.
Well, yeah, we're very proud of our relationship with them and for their support of this show. Licensing and disclaimer info at smartterm.com.
Encore!
Now, yesterday, we opened with the most important thing about our longest war, the war in Afghanistan, namely the lives lost, but there are also countless billions of dollars that were spent and all too often wasted. A new report just out yesterday says the U.S. and NATO cannot account for about $475 million thrown at buying fuel for the Afghan army. We don't even know how many vehicles or generators we were trying to fuel. We've also spent big bucks on construction. Nothing significant has been built with that money.
They need Quicken.
Nothing.
They need Quicken.
You have a phone. You have a congressman. You have
something.
A Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Another big part of the Obama foreign policy, though, has been quite simple. Kill the bad guys. A drone strike took out Al-Qaeda's number two man in Yemen yesterday.
Got another one.
Six members of his terrorist posse. The Navy SEAL who wrote that book on the killing of Osama bin Laden may very well be punished for it. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta says his people are still reviewing what in the book may be classified as they look for violations.
And I think it goes beyond that, beyond what is classified and what is not.
It does.
I think it's the code. And most of the SEALs you will talk about the code. You don't do this.
You can't.
When you sign up for it, you know, first of all, you do sign papers about non-disclosure.
First rule of Fight Club.
And it just sucks. That
Panetta also says that if we let this guy get away with profiting from our secrets, that opens the door for a lot more of that by a lot of other people.
I can't hear the name Panetta without laughing because Letterman has been doing a thing whenever he makes up a fake television show. He always puts it on CBS Tuesday nights after Panetta. And they show a picture of Leon Panetta like, you know, he's Columbo or something.
I like that guy, though. I like Panetta.
If you get a chance, Leon Panetta, I don't want to be on his bad side.
No.
Leon Panetta is one super smart guy. Beware of that guy. But I do want to say something about, you know, silly old Joe that everybody makes fun of Joe
Biden. Walked in on the speech and you're watching it today.
Joe Biden gave a speech at the Flight 93 Memorial up in the Somerset County, Pennsylvania. And was one of the most sensitive speeches given to mourning families that I've had. And I think it might be because Joe has lived through his own personal tragedy that way with his family, you know, with his family losing his wife and his children.
I saw the last 2 minutes with you, and what was struck me is that it was the sincerity of his tone.
Truly sincere.
And also, they had the teleprompters up. And never once did he even glance at
them. He might have been, Rob. He might have been doing
it well.
I don't
know. It looked, at least
I'm not sure.
What I saw,
right.
He honestly appeared to be speaking from his heart. And you know what? He doesn't have the reputation of a slick guy. I'm not sure he could pull it if it wasn't
I just
really
worry
sincere.
When you say that somebody would say immediately go, oh, he really was looking. It was a prepared text.
Well, then I'm an idiot.
You know,
that's what I pulled away
from really was.
It seems sincere to me.
He was so, he made some statements about grief and how you remember the families and how you go about doing that. I'm all about that. Mm-hmm. When I write to somebody who's lost a loved one, the last person I did it was for Omarosa, who lost Michael Clark Duncan.
Right, his funeral
and
was yesterday.
I always talk about the fact that you know, his spirit will live in your heart forever. Mm-hmm. It will never be the same, but it will get better with time, because I do believe that.
Yeah,
that's in my own, losing my father, that was my own experience. He had so much more than that. I urge everybody, if you get a chance to hear Biden's speech today at the Flight 93 Memorial. Do I have the flight number right? The Flight 93?
Yes, 93, 93 is correct.
Right, so check it out.
A Gallup poll asked voters how they would rate the two political conventions just ended. The Democratic convention got slightly higher marks. And the bump that has given to the Democratic candidate is also slight but unquestionable. Obama's job approval rating jumped from 45 to 50% as the convention ended, and his lead over Mitt Romney grew from a negligible 1% to a winnable 5%. Another poll just in the swing state of Ohio gives Obama a 5-point lead. Obama now leads in polls by Reuters and Rasmussen. A UPI poll gives Obama only a 3-point edge, which is about the margin of error, and that means the race is still very, very close. Romney campaign officials say this is just a sugar high that will fade as the economic realities soak back in.
I agree with that.
I'm waiting for Pew.
The Pew research.
I only go with Pew.
I just think none of them matter.
The Pew always comes a little later.
I mean, really, none of them matter. Right. None of them matter until, you know, you've got a debate.
Oh, yeah, several debates.
You've got still plenty of time to screw up.
There's one poll that matters the most, and that's in November. I'll listen to that one. Yeah. See who wins.
I do. I will admit that, look, I'm the base. I'm somebody who voted for
he
Obama.
Is. Right. The bass.
I'm the bass.
Bass.
Daddy sang bass. Mama sang tenor. But I believe that I'm one of these guys that they talked about that, hey, will you get re-energized? Mm-hmm. And
it worked for me.
Am re-energized. So that's all I can say.
But you can't get a sign.
I can't get a sign. No. I put my little magnet in the back of my car, though, mm-hmm. yesterday. I put that back there, so I've got my... But I want a yard sign.
Was that
anybody,
mentioned,
you know what,
was listen, that mentioned in the poll that Mike got the sticker?
I will yes. give... Uh-huh. Listen, I know I could go to the website uh-huh. and get it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't want to.
No, you don't want to.
I remember when I was a lad, times were hard and things were
join
bad.
Join me, Mike.
But there's really? A silver lining
I don't know it.
Behind
Johnny
every
Cash.
Cloud.
June Carter
okay, don't
Cash.
Sing, please. Thank you.
School officials in Chicago say they're pretty sure they can end that teacher strike today on this, its second day. That comment surprised the head of the union, who responded with,
Daddy
wow.
sang bass.
Mama sang tenor.
Sorry. He did not respond with Daddy sang bass. He responded with, wow, that really is up to them. A GoDaddy says no customer data was compromised by the crash that affected nearly 11 million customers for several hours yesterday.
Was Danica Patrick involved in that crash?
No, she wasn't. She escaped without injury.
That's a pretty good joke. Excellent.
Thank you. Pretty good joke. The crash was reportedly...
It was, Mike.
Not when you got to sell it.
he assured himself
sometimes
quietly.
Pointed out. I did what Jay does.
Yeah, no, but you were funny about it.
You see, because Danica drives a race car.
Yeah.
You tickled yourself. The crash was reportedly the work of a lone wolf. The hacker group Anonymous says it had nothing to do with this one. This is another one of those days that turns up a string of tragic stories about guns. Blame the day if you wish, but not us. In New Orleans, a woman mistook her husband for a burglar and shot him to death with the gun they kept for protection. In Clarksville, Tennessee, a toddler is in critical condition after accidentally shooting himself with a licensed gun his mom had left on the sofa. And in Port St. Lucie, Florida, a teenager accidentally shot himself in the penis and left testicle while carrying a loaded pistol in his waistband.
Don't look at me.
But
I like the Danica joke, but don't look at me, Mark.
All right.
It's
terrible. Painful.
Watch Buzz.
But
yeah.
But it's also a day of monkey stories.
Penis and left testicle. You know, that's how that guy gets it in the town. That's when Ben Affleck comes
in.
That's how Ben Affleck does in The Florist.
Yeah. You thought Obama leaned to the left.
Yeah. You know how they neuter somebody. They do it with chemicals. Anyway.
Wait, we also have
so I got your mother hooked and she hung herself with a wire.
You boy, say monkeys?
Yes, I did. As
start, again,
of fact,
start again.
No, I'm just saying it's not only a day of gun stories, it's also a day of monkey stories.
All right, so is this are you wrapping it up now?
Yeah, we're getting close to the end. We're not quite there, but we're getting close.
Okay, I got my finger ready.
Three men arrested in New Delhi for trying to smuggle tiny toxic primates in their pants.
Don't look in my pocket.
Near San Luis Obispo, California.
Wait, clear your throat.
Excuse me. Near San Luis Obispo, California.
Let me tell you, there is right now. Look what I've got there. He's moving around. Look at his primate.
He's an opposable thumb.
Thank you.
In California, a woman got bitten by her illegal pet monkey when he got tired of the frosted flakes she'd been feeding him.
You know, if you have a pet monkey, it's bad if it's an illegal.
And in Florida...
Keep them legal, folks.
Of course, flakes. In Florida, police captured a monkey that injured two people and chewed on a satellite dish. That one had escaped from a backyard cage. And finally...
Yes.
Finally, in the early 1900s, Jews... were not allowed to stay at hotels in New Hampshire, and it had nothing to do with tipping the staff.
No, it had everything to do with the traffic.
A couple of Jews ultimately opened their own hotel there in New Hampshire on a pond, which came to be known as Jew Pond.
Really?
It has been...
Hey, this is Eric Ronick from Black Gold.
It has been Jew Pond, officially, on maps and such, since the 1960s. It is no longer known as Jew Pond. It's now Carlton Pond.
Carlton Pond.
Mazel Tov.
There you go.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Another summer on Jew Pond. I got a whole sketch I could write on that one.
Oh, there, Norman.
Oh, my God. All right, that's it. We got to get out of here. Our show is brought to you by TryLendingTree.com. If you're thinking about refinancing your home, you know the answer is LendingTree. Mm-hmm. TryLendingTree.com. That's T-R-Y, LendingTree.com. Or you can call them at 866-291-2010. You'll be confident you got the best deal because the rates keep going down.
Amazing. It's ridiculous.
TryLendingTree.com. Enter the code TMOS, and we thank you in advance, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. We got to get out of here. Brand new show tomorrow. Take some time to think about those that lost their lives on 9/11. We would appreciate it if you would do that. I'll be at the Pentagon tonight with a motorcycle ride down there. And I might actually be all on my onesies. I'll let you know whether I do it tonight, riding up to Pennsylvania right after the show. That's probably a yes, because I wouldn't have mentioned if I wasn't doing it. All right. So long, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
Danica Patrick.
USA.